Hi, you're joining us for an episode of Papa, I Have a Question. This is where I get to sit down with my dad and ask him a question. I've realized over the years that I've been really blessed to have a great Bible scholar, a great theologian, and a great teacher just at my fingertips. And so when I have a question in my personal study or a question about life in general, I can say, hey, Papa, I have a question. We're talking about the importance of knowing what you believe about the end times. And so I just wanted you to talk a little bit about why is it so important that we know what we believe about the end times?
Okay, great. I'm glad you're asking that question. It needs to be asked, and we need to come to some conclusions. Time is a story. History is a story. The Bible is a story. And if you, it's foolish to think that I want to be a part of a story or know a story.
Okay.
Yeah, in the early 70s.
Lots of wisdom.
Yeah. Lots of curiosity. And the curiosity is always about, okay, Revelation, Book of Revelation.
Yeah.
So forget Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Nah, let's go to Revelation.
Yeah.
Which hardly any of them knew what they were talking about. But in the midst of that came a book that was very popular, and it was called The Late Great Planet Earth. Hal Lindsey wrote the book.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
Yeah. So everybody was reading the book. Everybody. That's an overstatement. But those kids were reading the book and asking questions. And so I read the book. And Hal Lindsey had basically taken his notes from Dallas Theological Seminary, where he had learned under Dwight Pentecost and others. And he was basically teaching a perspective on the end times that's called premillennial dispensationalism. Big word.
Tongue twister?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and so he was saying things like this is the terminal generation of all of history. Mm. And his argument about that was that the way he interpreted Scripture in a very flat, literal way was that when Israel became a nation, that was a clue that that's the last generation on the earth. And mm-hmm. he had his Scriptures to try to back that up, which meant that happened in 1948, so it meant by 88, that would be the end. So these kids were buying into this deal that they were living in the last generation. So it affected the way they lived.
Sure.
So you couldn't get them to consider going to college. Like,
yeah.
I don't know
why would
I go to college. Or, you know, even get a job other than
Or a
savings account.
Yeah.
Or, you know, learn how to handle money. I mean, one of the jokes back then was, but I don't know if it's a joke. It's like, borrow all you can, let the Antichrist pay for it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to get out of here. The next thing's going to happen will be the rapture, and we're getting out, and there's no need in trying to save this old world. It's it's shot through with evil, and it's going to burn up anyhow.
Yeah.
So why? And so to try to talk to them about responsibility, about ethics, about how to live, how to raise your kids, how to structure life, it's like it made no sense to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no. Talk to us about the end. Talk to us about, okay, who's the Antichrist, and when is that going to show up, and when does the tribulation happen, and you know, does the rapture happen before or after? So there's all of this convoluted and complex stuff to come up with that was tickling their curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something wonderful or something exhilarating about thinking that you're the terminal generation.
Sure.
Like, of all the people who've ever lived on the earth,
I'm going to be the last.
I'm going to be the last.
Yeah.
You know, there's an arrogance about that.
Sure.
And but a kick.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, we're the last ones, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, people still say that kind of stuff. Like, it can't get any worse than it is. Jesus got to come back.
Well, you said this was all before I was here, but it affected me. I remember in 88, you know, there was that 88 reasons Jesus is coming back in 88. I mean,
yeah.
I remember the day he was supposed to be coming, looking out the, you know, it's like, is he coming? We got to do school. Why are we going to do school if Jesus is coming back today? So it affected a lot more than just that generation.
You believe that stuff? I told you not to believe it.
I don't believe it now, but as an eighth grader, I didn't know what to believe.
So anyway, that's an illustration of it does affect how you live.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons we did the event that you mentioned recently is that just trying to address the hopelessness and the stress and the fear of our society, because almost all the surveys are showing that suicide's up, depression's up, isolation's up, loneliness is up, mental health is bad. So where did the hope go? Well, if your only hope is in government, then, you know, you're in big trouble. And that's kind of where our society has been, is hoping government will fix your problems. And it's becoming evident to everybody that it can't.
Right.
And so what do we hope for? So is Jesus coming back? And then so we start looking for signs and all that, and then start reading the scripture and trying to figure out and make the scripture into some kind of a puzzle that if you'll
pick formula.
You'll pick these, put these pieces together, whatever, you can make up your deal. So I was just trying to, for us to come to some truly biblical understanding of where do we live in the story?
Yeah.
And how do we live in the story?
Yeah.
And so we were taking those scriptures like, when Peter said, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, I want you to live with a clear mind, and I want you to live with soberness, and I want you to love one another, and I want you to practice the gifts that you have. He was not in a hurry to get out. Mm-hmm. He was not giving up on the world. And so we dealt with that, and then we tried to answer the questions about the all the questions people have about the tribulation and signs of the coming and all that kind of stuff. It's fine to go and look at all that, but it's not as conspiratorial and as mystical and mysterious. The great mystery of all of history is that God has summed everything up in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one man on the earth now that's called in Christ man. It makes up Jews, believing Gentiles, believing men, believing women, believing whatever race you're in. It has to do with believing,
mm-hmm.
believing in Jesus. And if you know that, then you can know how to live and what you're to do. So it is important.
That's good. I'm glad you brought up the mystery part of the mysticism part, because I think that part causes people to go, I don't want to know about that. I don't want to talk about that. It's scary or it's mystical or whatever. And so we don't give it the value that it's due, because it is important, because like you said, it affects the decisions that I make. It affects how I educate my children. It affects how I invest. It affects how I think about life. It affects how the church operates. It affects everything about who we are and the decisions that we make.
I can remember as a college student being, you know, I was going around and doing evangelistic crusades and stuff. And I remember being affected by it in the sense that it's like, okay, we don't need to disciple people. Let's just get as many saved as we can, because we're not going to be around here long.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have time to do the discipling and whatever. So let's just get as many saved. And so that affects the direction of your ministry.
Yeah,
it's like,
absolutely.
Okay, what do you do? It's like, well, have a bigger crowd as you can, get as many people down the aisle as you can, get them all signed up, and then move on, get some more.
Go to the next group, yeah.
Yeah. And yet the Jesus never did change the deal of, you know, make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
And he showed us how to do that, and he spent 3 years doing it. Paul would do it. He spent 2 or 3 years at Ephesus and different places. They thought it was okay to do what Jesus said, make disciples. And so it does affect the whole thing.
Yeah, that's so good.
And a lot of people make the mistake, same mistake I made, because it's controversial and you can't figure it all out, it must not be important.
Yeah.
You know, and we kind of conclude that. It's like, things that you can't agree on, just don't talk about.
Mm.
Well, that may mean it's more important.
Right. Right.
And it may mean it requires more love and more mutual submission to say, okay, I'll listen to your, you know, maybe you can add to it and you listen to mine. Maybe we can come up with what God really is saying.
Right. Needing each other.
Yeah.
That's good. I know you're not going to be surprised by this, but your answering my question has brought up some more questions.
No kidding.
So if you guys will join us on our next one, I have another question about the end times. So thanks for joining us for Papa, I Have a Question, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to the Kerygma Ventures podcast. We'd love for you to join us next week as we continue to bring you conversations and messages that challenge you to live a life of grace and freedom, developing a thriving relationship with Jesus. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you share it with someone in your life who you know would be encouraged to hear it? Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.